This is Girl with a Podcast. My life basically revolves around watching Bravo and drinking alcohol. I'm the modern day Bridget Jones if she was Jewish and not annoying. No, seriously, if sitting on your couch was an Olympic sport, I would win gold. The rumors are true. She's back. I'm so sorry for the long hiatus. I was busy living my life. I make no apologies, but I am sorry. So I just contradicted myself. But yes, this is your host, Girl with No Job, Claudia Ashray. I'm back. I took a little bit of a break. I was on vacation because I work so hard, you know. I was in the Middle East in a little place called Israel. It was amazing. It was very, you know, weird for me because it's such a spiritual place. I'm very connected to my heritage. So I spent half of the trip just like praying and seeing, you know, my old ancestors and like where they lived. And then I spent the other half of the trip like fucking raging because Tel Aviv is like this huge party city where like the best table in the club is like $200, whereas in New York, it's like $3,000. So I basically was a king of Israel, and it was amazing. So it was like a weird dichotomy, like praying, but also like getting fucked up. I enjoyed it, though. I'm not complaining. But I'm very happy to be back. It's really, I don't really like leaving the country because I happen to think America's the greatest place ever. And every time I leave the country or like even New York, I cannot wait to get back home. Does everyone have that? Like, I don't have this wanderlust. Like people, oh, I want to go to Bali and like see the Buddha, and like I don't have that whatsoever. I want to see the inside of my apartment while watching Real Housewives of New York old episodes. Like, does everyone else have that? I don't have that craving like all these bitches on Instagram have. Like, I will never in my life have the word wanderlust in my Instagram bio. That's just not who I am. The only wander I lust for is American sized portions, because every other country has tiny portions and I can't really get hip to that, you know. But anyways, happy to be back, happy to be getting back in my groove. I think I'm like done with jet lag. I never know. I'm always tired, even when I'm not jet lag. So it's hard to decipher when I'm tired because I do nothing or tired because I'm jet lag, you know? I've been back for a couple days now. I still haven't unpacked. I have two enormous suitcases in my apartment, like filled to the brim with clothes. And I don't even know how I packed in the first place because like where did all this clothing go before I packed? Now that I'm ready to unpack, I don't have any drawer space. I'm gonna have to leave everything on my chair. Does everyone have the chair? If you follow me on Snapchat, you know about this saga I just went through. I specifically, when designing, me and Ben just moved in together. I don't know if you guys like know that about me. We just moved in together, and I would say we're about 85% done furnishing the apartment. Ben would say we're 100%, but I say we're about 85% because there's a couple things I still want to do. But I'm going on a tangent. When we were doing our room, explicitly, I did not get a desk or a chair in my room because everyone knows what happens when you get a chair in your room. It just becomes the landing, the home base for all the shit you don't have space for. So I felt like I was really, you know, cheating the system. I didn't get a desk. I didn't get a chair. My room is very minimal looking. And by the end of last week, we've lived here for 6 months now, and I realized that in cheating the system, I didn't really win because now I have the radiator. And that's where everything ends up. Dirty clothes, clean clothes, wrappers, empty water bottles, full Snapple bottles, empty Diet Coke cans. It's just a pile of shit. And someone told me after I put it on my Snapchat that that's actually a fire hazard. So before I left for Israel, I literally was sweating like a beast cleaning my room, got all the clothes, put the dirty ones in the laundry, folded the clean ones, made space, like really like did it up. I get home from my 10-day excursion. The radiator has refilled itself. Ben's clothes are now on there. Dirty clothes, I'm looking at it now, like underwear, like just so gross. And it's like all my hard work went for nothing. And that's what's so hard about living with a boy. Like you put in so much effort to like dust the remotes and they don't even care because they just leave their dirty Calvin Klein underwear on the bathroom floor. And that's just like, I feel like that's a segment for another time where I should totally have Ben come on, and I will, because I have so many things I want to talk to him about. Because the last time I had him on my podcast, he said that he contributes 12% of the household chores. And since we've recorded that, I literally have not seen 1/12 of that 12%. And every day we wake up and I'm like, where's your 12%? Is it on the bathroom floor? Is it in the sink? I've become such a naggy wife. I hate it. Anywho, I really, like, need to devote a lot of time today to talking about the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills episode this week because it was so whack, and everything I thought I knew, I don't, and everyone I thought I liked, I didn't. I don't even know what side I'm on, and that's how you know it's a really good episode because I've been, like, strongly team Eileen, Erica Jane, and Kyle Richards this season, and, like, I don't know. Lisa Rinna's, like, fucking everything up for me because, like, she's a nut job. So I want to start at the beginning. I want to jump right in and divulge and recap this week's episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, darling. So we get to the episode and we're still on the junk boat in Hong Kong where Erica and Dorit are kind of going at it and everyone else is just like sitting quietly watching, which is exactly what I would do. And something that I loved that Erica said was that Dorit is so desperate to be her friend and desperate for her attention, which, by the way, you really can't say about yourself, but it was so true. Not necessarily that Dorit wants to be her friend, but like she's so desperate for Erica to react to her, for Erica to say something to her. And it just doesn't make sense because Dorit really is so fucking annoying to Erica, so like weirdly condescending, makes all those comments, you never compliment me. Like there is something weird going on where Dorit is obsessed with Erica, like wants to be in her inner circle, wants to be loved, but at the same time, like does nothing to make that happen for her. Do you know what I mean? So she was definitely, I think everyone was like taken aback by Erica saying that Dorit is like obsessed with her basically and just wants her attention. And that kind of escalated the entire argument. Something I really didn't take lightly to was Dorit and her side commentary pretending to be Erica and like holding her nose. Oh, Dorit, you're obsessed with, like, that wasn't funny. And I don't like someone who's not funny. Dorit is just like, she can't win. Like, she's not funny. She doesn't make any good arguments. The only thing is like, she's a good glam squad and she looks good sometimes. So I'm really like, I'm trying. Actually, I'm not trying. I hate Dorit. And towards the end of the episode, I hate her less. But for the most part, I just can't get with her. And even Erica, like, I don't think she was 100% right in her argument. I'll never not take her side because one, she's my queen. And two, I'll never side with Dorit because she's literally the worst person in the whole world. But the junk boat argument gets a little bit more heated when Eileen and Lisa Rinna involve themselves, which they're right to do. They are Erica's friends. I think it really was a pile on, and that's why Lisa Vanderpump had to step in. But I fucking hate Lisa Vanderpump. For once in any of the franchises of Real Housewives, if it's between two people, can it ever just stay between two people? No, it can't. And that's what's so frustrating. Like, let Dorit and let Erica Jane just work it out, but they're never going to work it out with everyone just like chirp, 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 to chirp, to chirp, chirp. Little did we know that this entire saga between Erica and Dorit is still about Pantygate, which Erica is entitled to. She's right. Should she have waited so long to like let Dorit know it was bothering her? Probably not. But I don't blame Erica for not wanting to be Dorit's friend. Isn't that okay? Like, you meet someone, you don't connect with them, you just don't have to be their friend. And that concept is totally lost upon Dorit. Like, Erica's like, I met this girl, I don't really like her. The end. Like, why can't it just end there? For Dorit, that's not enough. Dorit's like, everyone in this group likes me, I become friends with everyone in this group, and you don't like me, and that's not okay with me. Her and Erica are never going to agree on this. And I went into Pantygate previously, and I don't want to rehash. One thing I want to say is I really wish Dorit would stop selling it as like, PK is a normal guy. Like, what would any man with a pulse do if there was a pussy in his face? Like, okay, yes, a bachelor, a 25-year-old single guy, he sees a vagina, maybe he like looks at it and makes fun of it. A 50-year-old married man with two kids doesn't look at someone's vagina and like lick his lips and say, what else was I supposed to do? That's not a normal reaction, and let's stop selling it as a normal thing. Dorit, not... I don't think Tom Girardi would do that. I don't think Ken Vanderpump would do that. Mauricio would certainly not do that. Vinny, Harry Hamlin, of course not. That's not a normal thing. So let's take ownership. Your husband's disgusting. He's like a dirty sloth. Let's not make it seem like that's a normal thing people do when someone's not wearing underwear and they accidentally flash their crotch. That's not a normal reaction. That's not how it should have been. Your husband's disgusting and he's wrong. So then a conversation that was initially about Erica Jane and Dorit Kemsley is now about Lisa Rinna and Dorit Kemsley. And I don't really know what grievances Lisa Rinna has with Dorit. I'm not complaining. It's just not super clear like what their argument is really about. But I love that Lisa Rinna was just like, fuck you, Dorit. And then it totally called her out. Lisa Rinna was like, what do you think about me? And Dorit's like, you're low class. And at least Lisa Rinna in her side commentary, it's like, yeah, okay, I'm low class. You're from Connecticut and talk with a fake British Australian, like, Israeli accent, bitch. Don't fucking call me low class. So weird. Lisa Rinna is like, 9 times out of 10, she's so wrong. Like, her thinking, her logic, everything is so wrong. And then once in a while, 1 time out of 10, she like nails it on the fucking head and is so right. And I love that she's taking Erica's side. I really can't defend her because she's, some of the things she says are indefensible, and we'll get to that later. But I seriously, like, I can't really defend her because she's truly awful. And the only good thing she's ever really done is produce Delilah Bell and Amelia Gray, who were both so pretty and who I just followed on Instagram, both of them. And I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan. So that she's done right. And she's like doing a good job of trying to make them the next Gigi and Bella. And I actually think they have a lot of potential because they're both really pretty and they're only like 15 and like 17. So whatever. The Lisa Rinna argument, oh, it's about the pills. Right, I forgot. Okay, so that's kind of like why Lisa Rinna is taking umbrage with Dorit. And I feel like she's right. At the time, it was made into a big deal and nobody realized that. Like, really, Lisa Rinna, when she was at Eden's house, she pulled out a bag of pills, which looked weird, but it was all vitamins. And she said that. She literally said, that's like my multivitamin. Like, she said they were fucking vitamins. Then Dorit at her house was talking to Boy George. I hope they clipped to this at the reunion because she really did try and make it seem like Lisa Rinna had a pill problem, and she doesn't. They were all vitamins, and she made this tiny conversation at Eden's house, which was literally nothing. She made it into a big deal, so she really needs to stop defending herself because she's wrong. I really, really hope that at the reunion they cut to the scene where I think she's talking to Lisa Vanderpump and Boy George at her house at her birthday party, and she says, I was at Eden's house, and Lisa Rinna pulled out this bag of pills, and someone needs to call her out. She did make it a big deal, and she's acting so dumb. She's pulling Lisa Rinna. I can't remember. Lisa Rinna, you really made that a thing, and I'm upset at you because now everyone can say it because you said it and you made it seem like it was okay. Then, like, all of a sudden, the argument just, like, ends. Like, nothing's solved. They're not even off the boat. Erica's, like, down on the dock. Lisa Vanderpump's, like, trying to be sensitive and console her, but, like, Lisa Vanderpump is literally incapable of being compassionate. I don't believe one word that comes out of her mouth. She's so calculated. They had to pay her $1 million to be on the show, and she only said she would do it if she got to plug her Vanderpump dogs and her Yulin dog festival. Like, I'm all for the dogs, but I'm not buying Lisa Vanderpump's entire storyline this season. I don't think she's authentic. I don't think her friendship with Dorit is real. They're both using it as more of what's the right word? They're using each other as allies. They both defend each other. They both use each other. They stay in the same room. They take the cart together, you know, up to the Buddha. It's not real. I don't believe anything comes out of Lisa Vanderpump's mouth. I don't think she's genuine. And I felt really bad for Erica that she was embarrassed. She was in a lot of pain. She was humiliated and she wanted to cry, but she couldn't get off the fucking boat. That's why I don't get off of boats, in case I need to cry. I want to applaud Bravo for this week's episode because I feel like there's usually like one big moment of tension and then like a lot of filler bullshit until next week's episode. But there were two really kind of monumental moments this week, and I'm appreciative. So thank you to Andy. Thank you to whoever makes these kinds of decisions. So we had the first junk boat saga. Then we had some filler bullshit, like everyone in their room calling their husbands. Then they went to the Buddha where like they were just divided. I don't know. I don't really care. I don't have much to say about that. One thing I do want to say is when they got off the boat and Dorit and Kyle and Lisa Vanderpump were just walking through the streets of Hong Kong, Dorit said something really like evil. And you could only think something like this if you're an evil person. She said, Erica surrounds herself with her glam squad. She pays these people to tell her she's great and fabulous, and she has like no sense of reality. Like, who would even think like you're thinking? You have to be such an evil, disgusting, gross person to think like that. And so funny because then they cut to fucking Dorit brought her glam squad to Hong Kong with her too. So you know what? Pot calling the kettle black, bitch. And alas, the moment we've been waiting for the whole season to see basically why Erica says you don't know what I go through at night is arrived. And I'm very shocked to know that it's coming from Eileen. So basically, for the 59 minutes of the episode, I was completely with Erica until about 56 minutes in. And then I just got confused because at the dinner, when Eden says, I feel like there's an elephant at the table. First of all, Eden, the one thing you contributed to this episode you didn't even get right, because that's not the right phrase. It's an elephant in the room. Whatever. Let's not split hairs. Basically, they just jump right into the same argument they had last night between Erica and Dorit. And I'm seeing towards the end that Dorit really, truly wants this argument to be over. And not that it's the most sincere But she says, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. And Erica's reasoning is justified. She has a very serious, fancy old husband. If something like this gets back to him, you don't know. They have a weird marriage. I understand her not wanting her husband to, like, hear about this. And PK is disgusting. Like, her logic is right. Her thinking is right. Her execution of her argument was really bizarre and very un-Erica Jane-like, which makes me think she might have been really drunk. Because she couldn't stop crying, which is a telltale, like a first sign of someone being drunk. And she was like immediately, what's the right word? Not provoked, but she was like, I have to think of the right word. Hold on. She was, okay, I can't think of the word. Like, so I need the right word. What the fuck is the word? It's like one thing Eileen said and she was like, okay, I don't know the right word. If you can think of it, like, let me know. But like one thing Eileen said really like, I can't think of the word. Like, what's the word? Not provoked. Oh my God. I'm going to look up a thesaurus for provoked because it's similar, but not the same. Thesaurus provoked. Okay, let's see. Not aggravated. No, this is not it. Whatever. Okay, I can't think of it. Whatever. She was like so offended by what Eileen said, which Eileen has the best intentions. Eileen is totally on Team Erica. So this whole argument makes no sense to me, and I got really confused because Erica Jane is not acting like herself, and there's definitely something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. So Dorit like made a valiant effort to apologize. Erica Jane is inconsolable. So inconsolable that she even turns on Eileen, who's her best friend and who has been really a very good friend to her this entire season, especially in Hong Kong. So I don't know what's going on. And then Eileen says, it's not like she killed your kid, which is a complete figure of speech, a complete hypothetical. And Erica Jane is off the cliff. She's inconsolable. She's not coming back. She can't stop crying. By the way, I have the most respect for police, for people who are part of our armed services, who really truly are good people, put their lives out on the line for people they don't know. I don't think what Eileen said warrants this type of reaction. And I think it was really bizarre because Erica never talks about her kid. So I don't know. I think she must have been drunk. Like, nobody cries like that. Nobody's so inconsolable. Like, there was no coming back from her state of mind. And poor Eileen felt so terrible. Eileen was trying to mediate. And she just got lost in the shitstorm. Poor Eileen. Poor Erica, honestly, a little bit poor Dorit because Erica's having this huge, honestly, mental breakthrough. Her wall is down. She can't stop crying. And Dorit thinks it's because of her. And it really, at the end of the day, has nothing to do with Dorit. I don't know what's going on. And I'm annoyed because Erica's so strong. She's valiant. Like, she has become this kind of source of, like, feminine power and energy. And she, like, totally broke down. And I know she's probably feeling really embarrassed about it. Like, Eileen even said that. She's like, if anything, I know that Erica Jane is feeling probably, number one, most embarrassed. So when you thought it couldn't get any worse, Lisa Rinna opens her mouth and my jaw hit the fucking floor. I was shocked. I literally had no clue that that was what is going to come out of Lisa Rinna's mouth. And I think it's interesting because I'm pretty sure Dorit and her husband and her dinner party guests were probably doing cocaine. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, everyone who gets a modicum of success and fame in Beverly Hills / LA does drugs. I've seen people do drugs. It's kind of crazy, but it's not that big of a deal for, like, these people who live this type of lifestyle in Beverly Hills. So I think it was way outrageous for her to bring it up at a dinner party. And I feel like these types of things that happen on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, like, people doing drugs, people taking pills, like, it happens behind the scenes, and there's kind of, like, this unspoken about rule where you just don't bring it up on air. Like, everyone smokes weed, everyone's taking a couple pills every day, all the people from Vanderpump Rules are totally on Adderall, all the girls from New York smoke weed, and I guess all the people from LA do coke. Like, it's just kind of an unspoken thing, and Lisa Rinna brought it in front of the cameras, and that's, like, a big deal because we've never really seen that, and I don't know, like, she's not totally wrong. Dorit insinuated that Lisa Rinna takes pills. So Lisa Rinna insinuated that Dorit does coke. Like, gotta scratch your back if you scratch mine. So my jaw just hit the floor. Like, they've never gone that far and that deep. And when she was like, Do you trust your husband? Like, there was no fucking holding, there was no holding Lisa Rinna back. And up until, like, the last 3 minutes, she was right, and then she took it too far. And now she's got me feeling bad for Dorit, and I hate that because I hate Dorit, and I don't feel bad for her. She's wrong. So I hate you, Lisa Rinna, for making me think she's right and for making me think I like her. The time where I get overly emotional and overly involved in the podcast has come, which means it's time to move on from the subject. That was the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills recap, and something I really want to talk about is Beauty and the Beast, because Ben and I saw it last night, and I have to talk about it. If you haven't seen it, this isn't going to spoil anything for you, but it was fucking brilliant, like fucking magnificent. I liked it as it's a child's movie, and I liked it more than any adult movie I've seen in the past 2 years. And by adult movie, I don't mean porn. I mean like PG-13. I thought, prior to going in, I really thought Emma Watson was not a great choice. I still feel that way. She did exceed my expectations because I was really expecting nothing from her. She's not even that good of a singer, but she was great. I just don't like her attitude, like, outside of the movie. Like, she has gone on record saying that she wouldn't wear a corset because they're, like, demeaning to the feminine body and, like, the male gaze. And even though, like, Belle's corset is, like, an iconic part of her look. And she also said that the Beast's relationship with Belle is abusive. Like, and I couldn't stop thinking about that during the movie. Like, come on, it's a kid's movie. Must we analyze it so much and put, like, some fucking political spin on it? It's a good movie. It's a happy movie. It's a love story. It tells great morals. But so she wasn't so bad. She wasn't as bad as I thought she was going to be. I thought Josh Gad, who played Gaston, he played LeFou, was divine. He was the gay character, and it really wasn't that gay. I don't know why people are freaking out about it. Like, he was just gay. Like, it wasn't that big of a deal. He was so funny, so good, such a great singer. He does great, like, animations with his voice. Everyone they cast was cast to a T, and it's so crazy because a lot of the characters are, like, teacups and candlesticks before the end of the movie when they, spoiler, like, revert back to real life. But you could still, like, I knew it was Emma Thompson. Like, I knew who the actors were just by their voice. It was just so good. I won't ruin it, but I left, like, on a high. I could not stop singing. I'm surprised. I literally knew all the words to all the songs, and I haven't seen the movie in, like, 10 years. I really recommend everyone do it. See it with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your friends. So good. That's Gwunge's recommendation of the week. And now I'm going to do some Q&A. You guys have been emailing me and tweeting me questions that you want me to answer on the podcast. The first one comes from Quincy in New Jersey. She wants to know, what's the hardest part of planning a wedding? Besides for everything, the hardest part about planning a wedding is other people. Like, I guess other people have gotten married too, and everyone has an opinion. Like, oh my God, I have the greatest florist, I have the greatest band, I have the greatest caterer. Like, everyone's style is different, and particularly everyone I know has terrible style, and I don't want your recommendations. I don't want any of your opinions. I'm doing this completely on my own, completely what I want, what I think. Please just, like, keep your opinions to yourself. I don't care. Mary from Rhode Island says, I'm so mad you didn't do a podcast about the Bachelor finale. Can you give us your thoughts? So I was in Israel while it happened, and I feel like just to talk about it now on an entire episode would be counterproductive, but I'll give some thoughts because you guys deserve that much. I'm not surprised that she won because someone ruined it for me, but even if someone hadn't ruined for me, it was so blatantly obvious. And Nick's a shit. Like, what we've seen this entire season is production and the editors trying to save face for Vanessa, because what I've read in spoilers and what I've read and from people on the show is that Vanessa was a nightmare. She was so entitled, so mean to Rachel, mean to a lot of the girls. If you look on her Instagram, the only girls that she's friends with on the show are Taylor and Danielle M, which should tell you something because they both suck. So she's not, all the girls are so close, even Corinne. Corinne's friends with all the girls, except this Taylor and Vanessa are like on their own planet. So that should tell you a little bit of what type of person she is. And then Nick choosing Vanessa tells us even more about what type of person Vanessa is. They've moved to LA because he's on Dancing with the Stars. His dancing was so lame. Like, it felt like I was watching a grandfather dance at his granddaughter's wedding. It was just so awkward. I don't foresee them having a very long future of their relationship. But again, I said that about Jordan and JoJo, but I've kind of changed my mind about Jordan and JoJo. I happen to think they might, like, be real because they're really not camera. They're not, like, always in the why can't I speak English today? They're not always in the spotlight. They live a very low-key life. She does a lot of ads on Instagram and Snapchat, which is so fucking annoying, but, like, if she's making money, good for her. I don't know. I just really don't. Nick's plans are so much bigger than Vanessa. Like, he is such a fame whore. Dancing with the Stars is not his final stop. He's just not going to stop. And I think Vanessa is going to be sick of it at some point. And just for headlines, he's going to break up with her. But I did read something really interesting on Reality Steve. And he said that he heard from a source that Nick did not have sex with Raven in the fantasy suite, which I would actually have so much respect for him if he did, because if you guys don't know this, when he was on Andy's season, he went on Mental All because he went home after the fantasy suite. And on Mental All, he said to Andy, if you didn't love me, why did you have sex with me? Which was like so embarrassing for her. It made me hate him so much. So for him to have sex with Raven and then send her home after the fantasy suite, or Rachel even, like, that wouldn't be right. So I'm kind of, if that's true, it changes a little bit of what I think about Nick. And before I wrap on The Bachelor, please let me remind you that I made the most amazing Instagram account called Girl With No Rose, and it's basically like Bachelor memes, and it's so funny, and I'm having so much fun doing it. And Lauren Bushnell and Amanda Stanton both followed it, so like if you guys want to follow it, I wouldn't be mad, but you definitely don't have to, but I'd really appreciate it if you did. Last question comes from Dakota. She says, do you and Ben fight? I mean, all couples fight. I think Ben and I haven't had like real monumental, like emotional fights in like 3 years, which I'm very thankful for, but we fight about like the dumbest shit. Like when we're like hanging out, I love to pop Ben's pimples. Like he has a nose full of blackheads and I just want to get rid of them. And every time I go to touch his nose or forehead, he like grabs my wrist and pushes me. And I tell him that he's an abusive boyfriend. And like, we just argue because we're both so physical with each other that like someone always ends up getting hurt. Cause like I slap Ben back and then he tries to tickle me. So like, it's a very abusive relationship, but we don't really fight. We have like dumb bicker arguments. Obviously, now that I said that, I'm sure we'll have like a big fight tonight because I'm a dumbass. All right, that's it for this week's episode. Thank you guys again for being patient. Sorry I took a hiatus. I'm back every week now. Make sure to subscribe, iTunes, SoundCloud. Make sure to follow me on Instagram, Girl With No Job, Claude With No Job, Jenner With No Job, Girl With No Rose, like all of them, you know. Let me know. Always, you can email me or tweet me or message me on Instagram if you have any suggestions for the podcast, like if you want me to do different recaps of different shows or a segment you have an idea for or you want to come on as a guest. I'll probably say no, but anyways, love you guys. Mwah!